think about that time maybe where you got to sit up next to a fire. Maybe it was even outside under a chilly evening, and yet the warmth of the fire allowed you to maybe even change your disposition. Your body melts and relaxes and maybe enjoys that heat. Have you all been in that place? Some of us, we put our shoes on the fireplace and realize that was a bad idea. Or our knees start to get too hot and realize we got to back away. But what a blessing and gift sometimes just a good fire can do for us as human beings. A grace of God, maybe, that we can build fires and have fires and enjoy fires. A little glimpse of the goodness that he gives, not just to believers, but to all. That truly he is the greatest light. He is the greatest fire, the warmth that can change our lives. And this morning we begin looking at a shipwreck crew of 276 men. And what is their experience when they get on land? A fire. Put yourselves in their shoes. Some of them could swim, still exhausting. Some of them could not and were clinging for their lives on pieces of board from the ship. Whatever they could grab to make their way to land, and God in his grace said all made it safely onto this island of Malta. And I just thought, you know, here is a story that shows us the grace of God. God's grace to all of us. All of us. The whole earth in which is inhabited by millions and billions of human individuals that God has made. God's grace to Paul, and I think in many ways his specific grace to believers, to all of us who know him. We're going to see that as well. And we're also going to see that God's grace extends to the barbarian, to the uncultured, the one who can't communicate or we can't understand them, the one that we might think is below us, if we should even say something like that. And that's the three things I want to look at this morning, is his grace to us all, his grace to Paul, the apostle, and his grace to these Malta barbarians, as they are called. His grace to all. Look at this as we begin in verses 1 and 2. After we were brought safely through, Acts chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. Literally, it says, they showed us no little hospitality. And Luke loves to say that over and over again, that when it was no little of a thing, it was actually a huge thing. And like I said, put yourself in their shoes, trudging onto the beach, probably exhausted, cold, frozen. The month is October, getting close to November. Getting out of the ocean. How many of us go swimming in the ocean in October? Okay, we got one. I'll take a wetsuit with me and maybe I'll get in there. And what happens when they get there? More rain. And a cold rain. A November Oregon rain. If you can think of that. And they are cold to the bone. And God showed first his grace by this phrase, he brought them safely through. Maybe they didn't care about the cold, the wet. They were alive. All 276 of them. Their feet were secure on land. We made it. God showed his grace, not just to the Apostle Paul and Luke and Aristarchus, but to all. The Jews on board, the Greeks on board, the freed men on board, the slaves on board, the wealthy, the poor, all 276 of them, and all that they entail, he was merciful and gracious to all. And then these people on the island, these barbarians, showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all. What's understood on this island of Malta, and it depends, there's an argument about was the shipwreck on the south side of the island because they found Roman anchors down there, or was it on the north side of the island because they found some amazing... I get into archaeology, I kind of lose track of time if I do too much of this, but amazing, giant, huge anchors from these grain ships were found also in northern Malta. And so there's kind of this debate, which one was it? But in the northern section, there's also this town where they found a first century Roman villa, who they believe could have been the villa of this Roman governor that we're going to read here in Acts 28. And from that viewpoint, you can see the harbor that they would have come into. And so these barbarians, these workers on the island, these uncultured people would have seen a ship coming in, being crushed and broken apart. And what do they think? Well, if they make it alive, we're going to build a fire. We're going to welcome them. And we need to see behind all of this the grace of God. A crew, storm tattered and wet and cold, coming to a fire with uncultured barbarians, maybe smiling at them, maybe showing their welcome in their own language, in their own manner. God being gracious to all. The purpose of the storm was to show the crew that this God whom Paul worshipped, we might need to listen. We might need to heed. We might need to really ponder, who does he worship? The storm had purpose, and it was to bring him, the Apostle Paul, and the whole crew to Malta. And it's very interesting, why this little section of the island of Malta? Why haven't we jumped to Rome? Why did they stop here? Why did God bring them to this place of refuge? Interestingly enough, some say the meaning of Malta means honey, at least in the Greek language, but in the older language, where it was settled by Phoenicians, it meant a place of refuge. It was a place of safety. Isn't that amazing? This island in which they found their safety was historically called the island of safety, of refuge, a stronghold. This island would have some purpose for the Apostle Paul and this whole crew. God showed grace to Paul, showed grace to the 276 a part of the ship, shows grace to this Roman governor, Publius, and shows grace to the islanders, these barbarians. He shows grace to all, for we read that God is a merciful God, merciful to all. Psalm 145, what a beautiful psalm this is. Verses 9 through 17, I would encourage you to read this whole thing. Psalm 145, 9 through 17 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made." His mercy, not getting what we deserve. Kindness and grace and a warm fire. And we will continue to see His kindness shown to this Roman governor and to the people on the island. God's love and kindness and mercy are for all people. And I don't want us to say, well, yes, kindness to save them, but I want us to see that God's nature, who He is love, is kindness, is mercy. He can't stop being loving. He can't stop being kind or being merciful. That is who He is. It says in Scripture that God desires that all people come to know Him and be saved. That's His heart, is mercy for all. We know the truth that not all come and be saved. But God's heart, His love, is for every creature that He has made. Sin has come and marred and destroyed His beautiful creation. God has a plan in all of that. But we see over and over in Scripture this understanding of mercy to all, God's kindness to all. Genesis 39:5, what an interesting story, but this little phrase here in Genesis 39:5 is Joseph goes into Egypt and lives among the house of Potiphar. It says, "The Lord bless the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, for his servant's sake." You know, I could only easily see this parallel to the Apostle Paul. The Lord is showing kindness to these islanders in Malta, showing grace and salvation physically to these crew of 276 men because possibly of his servant being on that boat, the Apostle Paul. And you might know the story of Joseph as well, that he was risen to ranks and became second in command in Egypt and brought them through famines year after year of no new harvest and new food. And yet, because of God's servant being in that place, all were blessed. All were given mercy and grace. Egypt flourished at a time of famine, at a time when their nation could have been wiped out. God blessed Egypt for Joseph's sake. Matthew 5:45 says, "For He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust." Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Jesus recounts it and He says, the rich man, he had everything he wanted in this life. Lazarus, he endured trials. And yet even after they passed away, Lazarus was sitting at Abraham's bosom in peace and calm, while the rich man, without Christ, was in pain and agony, crying out, "Tell the rest of my family not to live the way I lived, not to forget that even though I might get pleasures in this world, there's an eternal reality. Tell my family that they need to be aware of this eternal reality." Because that's the truth, that even though God sends the sun and the rain on both the just and the unjust, what matters is the eternal state of our souls. And what is beautiful is God makes no distinction, as we have seen in this book of Acts, in His good gospel news. There is neither Jew nor Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, as Paul is going to write to the Romans in Rome, in Romans chapter 10, verse 12. And we read together Titus 2:11, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." There is no distinction. there is no, well, she can maybe have salvation. He looks like a good candidate. That person doesn't. They do not. We can't say that. God gives his grace to all. His common grace, as theologians call it, the grace of rain, of good fruits, called common grace, a grace that God gives to all. His grace of salvation he gives to those who have trusted in him. You might object and say, well, why? Why is he so good? Why is he merciful to all? I mean, to even the ones in prison, in jail, they deserve it. Why does it say God is merciful to all? It's his nature. Not only is it his nature, we should say, thank you, Lord, that you have been merciful to all. Thank you that you do not make a distinction. Because what if I was not on that list? What if I missed the distinctive list and I was on the wrong side? Praise God, he doesn't make any distinction. As we saw in Acts, the gospel went from Jew to the whole world, Gentiles and all people. God gives grace to all. And for that we say, praise God. We can give the message to all. Receive the grace of God. It's a free gift, just as that word means. It's a free gift. It's there. We would pray that God would open people's hearts to see that as a gift and receive it. God gives grace to all, even as he brings this ship safely through, even as he shows the Apostle Paul and this crew kindness through the islanders. They all get to sit around a warm fire. God gives grace then to the Apostle Paul. Isn't it amazing? Look at the Apostle Paul in verse 3. Same scenario, same circumstances, wet, cold, exhausted. At least he had the notion to tell the whole crew, get some food, feed yourselves. But then here's Paul. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on a fire, the Apostle Paul, the first thing as he gets on land, well, that fire's going to need more wood. I'm going to get more wood. He doesn't say, okay, there's 275 people around me. I think they're all safe because of me. I think God's blessing everyone because of me. I'll let them do all the work. I'm kind of special. I'm just going to watch and observe while everyone else goes and gathers sticks and does all the work. No, that wasn't the Apostle Paul. Right off the bat, he's a servant, following in his master's footsteps, running to find more wood for the fire, running to make sure that all 275 of his crew would stay warm. As many, I'm sure, were going out gathering wood for this fire, making sure it kept burn. There's Paul in the midst, a servant leader, willing to get his hands dirty, and here, willing to get his hand bit. For when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, I can't say this with complete validity, but it's been told that sometimes snakes, when they're freezing, they will stiffen up and they will sometimes act and look like a stick. And what is the thought is that he just gathered a bunch of sticks and one of them was a snake. Not a stick, it was a viper. And it fastened onto his hand. Let's keep reading. When the native people, the barbarians, that's the word there for native people, barbarians, saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another in their own language, no doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. He, that is Paul, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. The usual symptoms. This happened a lot on Malta. It was frequent. They're just waiting for the inevitable to happen. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. It's interesting, too, that nowhere in this section, this little story, is it shared that Paul took that opportunity then to say, no, I'm not a god. Let me tell you about the Most High God. I kind of wonder, was that his segue? Was that how he brought in the good news of Christ? Was that how he shared of God on these barbarians and these islanders? But they were expecting him to die, which would have been natural. A swelling up, a falling over dead. Venomous poison from this viper. Paul shakes it off his hand. It falls into the fire. And he goes about what he's doing. Is it because the Lord had told him, you will make it to Rome, Paul? It's just a viper. I'm going to get to Rome. I'm not going to be worried about this. Was he worried? Was he concerned? Luke doesn't share any of these things. He just tells us the story, the facts, that he should have died and he did not. Can some of you say that in your story or someone you know? Oh man, they should have died, but they did not. I know for some of you, I've talked with you, well, it seems like they've had 9 lives. God has a purpose. They've been so close in this situation and this, and God has preserved them and kept them alive. God had a purpose for the Apostle Paul. Nothing, not even a storm, a shipwreck, a viper was going to get in the way of Paul getting to Rome. Not even what was normal and natural and obvious to happen, dying from a snake bite. Nope. The Apostle Paul, immune, miraculously, because God had made a promise to him. We need to keep that in mind for all of us. As the family of God, as those of us who's trusted in Christ, that in some ways we cannot be shaken. There is an immunity to us, a reality that heaven is our home. The Lord has gone, he says in John 14, to prepare a place for us. And I don't want to take my imagination too far, but does it have my name over the doorway? Is it there? Is it ready? Saying, we're just waiting. God has the day for you. Your room is, you know, not number 203, but there's a place for you. It's there. And you will get there because God has promised and he will take his word and be faithful to his word and keep that promise. There is in some ways an immortality and an immutability with believers that we don't have to fear the things of this world because our home is ready for us, secure. What a great thing to be reminded of, to wake up every day, and I don't do this, but to say on a Monday morning, my name, my place is prepared for me. I have a home that I am going to. I am immovable. I don't have to fear death or fear the circumstances. And oh, how we do get caught up in the storms. How we do get caught up in our circumstances. I kind of wonder, did Paul use this kindness of the Lord, this grace of him, as an opportunity to speak of grace, to speak of the true God? No, he was not a god. he was not one to be worshipped and extolled. But did he use this kindness of God for his own life to tell these islanders and barbarians, let me tell you of the grace of God? We also too have those maybe weekly moments and opportunities, if we remember, let me tell you how God showed his grace to me. Let me tell you what happened on this day. It's really unbelievable. Or let me tell you about this little detail, and I see the hand of God in it. We have those abilities to tell of God because of God's grace that has been shown to us. No misfortune came to him. God's promises would come to pass. He would get to Rome. We might ask, well, why me? The Apostle Paul might have said, well, why didn't I die? Why didn't this poison kill me? It's killed many others on this island. Why not me? I'm not worthy of the grace. I'm not worthy of this, Lord. And that's what Paul had in his heart all the time. We see that throughout his books in Romans 15:5. Because of the grace given to me by God. I'm sorry, that's Romans 15:15. Because of the grace given to me by God, Christ has accomplished much through me. Christ has done it through me because of the grace that has been shown. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, I am unworthy to be called an apostle, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I don't know if you've received or read that and thought, that's exactly where I'm at. The Apostle Paul is speaking my language. I'm not worthy to be called a Christian. To know God and to love God. It's the grace of God that makes me who I am, that has opened my eyes to truth, to my need for a Savior. I'm unworthy. Galatians 1:15, I love this. Galatians 1:15 says, His grace was pleased to reveal His Son to me. God in His grace was happy, pleased to show us salvation, to reveal His Son, to show us grace. God shows us grace because we all have a purpose, and we should think, how can I use what He has given me to lift His name high to others? How can I praise His name in the midst of my community and my family? And, you know, I'm always thinking, you know, when the cashier says, how's your day going? You know, I need to have some better responses. Oh, great. Oh, the weather's beautiful. But, you know, better than I deserve, right? Better than I deserve. Huh? What do you mean? Well, let me tell you what I deserve. Then it gets even more exciting. Oh, God's grace to us. God's grace to Christians, to the Apostle Paul. Lastly, God's grace to the barbarian. Did you see all the things that they went through, all the stories? Let's continue to read, though, in verse 7. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. You see even how I shared that when God shows us as believers His grace, that grace goes out. It goes out to two different distinct populations here. The Roman governor, who was probably sent from Sicily, from up north, to govern this island. His father was suffering from fever and dysentery, that disease of the gut, the disease of the intestines, that in that island, it still is it's a struggle even today. Typically comes from bad water or bad food or a contamination in something that we've digested. And in those days, and even still now, some of that cannot be cured. A lot of it leads to death. Most everyone who got it would die. Here is this Roman governor's father on the pathway to death with fever and dysentery. And God, in his grace to the Apostle Paul, extends grace to this Roman governor. Paul visited him and prayed. He prayed. He reminded all who were watching. Maybe it wasn't 276 of the crew in this home, but there would have been a few invited in, and they would have seen Paul pray to his God, who is the only one who can heal, who is the one who has power. Paul never tried to exalt himself or say that he could do these things or he could have the power. He prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And after the healing of this governor's father, news spread, and the rest of the people on the island, these barbarians who had diseases, also came and were cured. Paul was given a purpose to bring healing, to bring God's grace to these people, and the people were now given a purpose, new life. The road to death, that was not the only option they had. More life. Nothing is mentioned. Did they give glory to God? Did they come to know God? Did they turn from their sins and their ways to worship God? I can only imagine some of them did. It's possible that verse 10 is because of that. They honored us with many honors, with great gifts, supplying all that we needed when we got back on board. And look at verse 11. After 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. They were here for 3 months. This wasn't a week stay vacation on the island of Malta. What did the Apostle Paul and Luke and Aristarchus and maybe some converts, what happened in those 3 months? What good news came out of the apostle's mouth? We're not told. We do know, though, that Christianity continues to flourish on the island of Malta. Many believe it started in AD 60 at this time, when God's grace came to the barbarians, the overlooked, the unknown people, the uncultured people. And Paul, I think, continues to learn as God shows him. The gospel is to the Jew and to the Greek. And he says in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, as he writes this book to Rome, I'm under obligation to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the foolish, and to those who are in Rome. The gospel is for the civilized, cultured, highly well-to-do Greeks, but also to the ones that nobody knows about and speaks a different language, and maybe doesn't have the advancements that some other cultures have, the barbarians. Not just the barbarians, but Colossians 3:11 says, the gospel is not just for the Jew or the Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian. And Paul even goes further, as the Scythian was from this Black Sea, Caspian Sea area near Asia, and they were just considered the nomad, the wild, savage population, the dangerous, unknown. The gospel is for them as well. What was at the heart of maybe God's message to the barbarian? Did you notice that this is what they said in verse 4? The Apostle Paul's been bitten. He must be a murderer. He must have done something atrocious because now justice has gotten him. And it's capitalized there, at least in the English Standard Version. For some of you, it may not be capitalized, but that word in the original language is the same word for the goddess that was worshipped, the goddess of justice. These people who obviously were worshipers of different gods and goddesses thought, well, this God has finally shown justice to the Apostle Paul. He must have done something evil. This snake is here to bring retribution to what he has done. Justice has not allowed him to live. And the truth is, that is the mission of God's grace, is always to demolish and show that other gods and other forms of worship are nothing in comparison to him. That he is the only God that is to be worshipped. The God over all other false gods. And what he was showing these islanders, and I think the Apostle Paul shared, let me tell you who the true God is. I'm not the God either. I'm not immortal. I'm not alive because of me. Let me tell you about the real God. Not this God of justice whom you worship, but the one and only and true God, the creator of all of you. And Paul was able to explain the grace of God, I think, to all, to barbarians, as he says, to Jews and Greeks, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian. It doesn't matter. And I wonder, did God use this one individual, the Apostle Paul, to bring grace and salvation to many? It reminds me of a story you might know of in the Old Testament by an individual of Esther. And Mordecai, her relative, said, Esther, maybe you have come into power, being the queen, for such a time as this. And the truth is, maybe the Apostle Paul and Luke and Aristarchus were put on this island and landed here for such a time as to bring these islanders out of their worship of false gods to a worship of the God who is true and who can heal and who can cure and who has the power to save. Maybe they were brought by a shipwreck for such a time as this. Sometimes God encourages us in the most unlikely way. Sometimes we need to trust in him as the Apostle Paul had to trust as he gets bitten by a snake and wonders what is going to happen. And sometimes we don't always see the fruit right away. It doesn't come in our timetable. We don't hear of what might have happened through Paul's encounter on this island. What was there a church? Were there other believers? Nothing is mentioned. But we do know that there are Christians on Malta today. There have been churches on Malta since the early centuries, since the first century of AD. We may not be the ones to see the fruit, but God's grace is going through us to other people. Let's first remember it has been shown to us, and it has been shown to us to show and exclaim and declare to others. Turn to this God who is gracious. Turn to this God who is all-powerful. Turn to this God who is faithful to his word. He has kept us safe thus far, and he will get us to Rome. And we're going to look at that next week as Paul arrives in Rome. God's word remains true. He is faithful in all that he says. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Lord, help our hearts to trust in your promises to us. Help us to remember your grace to us on a daily basis. And like these people on Malta, you brought them safely through the storm. And Lord, the truth is you bring us through the storms. But Lord, we have to turn to you and trust in you. We have to have faith in you. We have to have a relationship with you, the God of the storm, the God over every circumstance, the only true God. Lord, if there are things in our life that have become priority and ultimate that are not you, things that we have been chasing after, that we believe will give us our hope and our happiness and our security, somehow it has become to us another form of a God. Oh Lord, bring about a change of heart for us this morning as we turn from other things to look upon you and worship only you, the true God. Lord, as we go into the week, let us never forget that our name has been written and there has been a place prepared for us, and this is not our home. And let us hold fast to that promise you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.